This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Many of us have been Christians for most of our lives, and we barely remember life without Jesus Christ. We go to church each Sunday, pray the same prayers, sing the same songs, fellowship with the same people, and it becomes easy for our faith walk to become stagnant. However, Jesus warns us about the danger of static faith. Stay with us this day as we talk about how to keep our faith vibrant and prosperous each day.
We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that patiently you wait for us to come along as the Holy Spirit will lead us. Help us to understand what it really means to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. We realize that can have many ramifications, but, O God, we pray that this word today will help us to understand how good it is to be one of your children. We ask your blessings to rest upon the preaching of your word around the church today. Grant that it may find hearts that are anxious to hear and people whose lives can be converted. So we commit this hour into your hands and ask that you will be with us and that we too may work to bring this kingdom to hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy
friends in Christ. If a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, his or her life is in a state of constant change. What does that mean? Some would say, I don't understand. I've lived with Christ for quite a few years, and I don't know if there have been any great changes. Well, let's see if we can look at the text for today and find out just what Jesus means by trusting in the Savior. Here is the story. It's recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. While they were listening to Jesus, he went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once, he said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work," he said, "until I come back." But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, "We don't want this man to be our king." He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for his servants, to whom he had given the money. In order to find out what he had gained with it, he had them before him. The first one came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 10 more. "Well done, my good servant," his master replied. "Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, "You take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, "Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you, because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in, and reap what you did not sow." His master replied, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I was a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back I could have collected it with interest?" Then he said to those standing by, "Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. "Sir," they said, "he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine, who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." These are kind of hard words, aren't they? Hardly could we believe that they came from the lips of Jesus, and yet he had something that he had to make clear to them, and this is the method he used. What does it mean, then, to say, when Jesus comes into my life, when I take him as my Savior and my Lord, then my life is going to change? Well, the man had given the money to these servants of his, and then he went away. One of them invested this money, and when he came back and the man stood before those people who he had given the money to, he asked, "Well, what did you get? What did you do?" "Well, I invested your money, and I hit it pretty lucky. Here's another 10 mina for you." "Well done," he said, "my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I'll make you owner over much." And then came the one with the 5 mina, and he also received a great blessing from his master. But then there came one who at the end had not done anything with the money. In fact, he said, "This master of mine is a hard man. He does things that are vicious." So he put the mina in a cloth and put it in the drawer. And when the master came back, he took it out and said, "Here it is, sir. I give you back what you gave me. Because you are a man who expects something from really nothing." And the man said, "Poorly done. Because of this, take his 5 mina and give it to the man with 10 mina. And they said, "Well, that doesn't make sense. They have 10. Why take the 5 away from the fellow who now has to learn a lesson?" I tell you, from him who has much, more will be given. For those who have less, it will be taken away. Hard words coming from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask again, if we confess Jesus as Savior, what does it mean that our lives will be in a constant change? We either grow in our faith or it is taken from us. And so I'd like to spend some time on that phrase that we use quite freely and sometimes without too much meaning. What does it mean to receive Jesus Christ? It can mean that I have been intellectually catechized. I have been sent in some of our churches to a confirmation class. And there in the confirmation class, I learn all about Jesus Christ. I have a good mind. I can comprehend what the teacher is saying. And I give the right answers. So intellectually, I know Jesus. He is in my intellect. I pass the test. What happens to him? Nothing is left. It isn't soon before he's changing, but not according to the will of God. He's moving farther, farther, farther away. That happens in nearly every confirmation class that I have ever had anything to do with, simply because they were not walking with Jesus in his word. But here's another one. After confirmation, he comes to the Bible classes. He studies the Word of God. He stays for the worship service. He spends some time with a good group of Christian friends, and their conversation is around Christ and what he has done for them. He becomes a stronger believer, stronger and stronger. If you receive Jesus Christ into your life, meaning into your heart, and you feed on him every day, you can be sure that you will grow in the faith. Now, my friend, remember this. If you grow in that faith, people are going to see it. You have really grown, and they point to things that are happening in your life. How you're anxious to have others hear the Word of God. There is a change. Maybe you had language problems with profanity. That had to go. Lying, stealing, cheating, anything that is contrary to the will of God. That Savior living in your heart will change that heart. That person you learned about in confirmation, and you learned about it in your head, that will not bring forth many changes. Know Christ intellectually, nothing happens. Know Christ spiritually, your life is in constant change. We see that in our churches, those who are faithful. I think back on my own confirmation class. Take a look at the picture that we had taken on that day. I don't know where many of those men and women are today. Perhaps many of them are dead. But I know some who became very staunch believers in Jesus Christ. He lived in their heart. And they received many blessings from him. There were people who did not throw the Word of God out. And that Holy Spirit simply deepened the faith and made them want to do the things that were according to the will of God. Now, we have to remember that we do not want to preach any heresy here. And so we talk about that our salvation comes by grace through faith in Christ. That is true. Christ alone, through his suffering and his death and his resurrection, has brought us salvation. It is not the little things that come after that salvation. But it also tells us that if Jesus Christ is our Savior in our heart, there is a longing There is a longing to serve Him. Many parents, in the early years of their children's lives, didn't do a very good job in telling them about Jesus Christ. But now that they have been converted or spiritually awakened, and He lives in their hearts, He will go to them as adults and say, "I was weak as a parent. Forgive me. Let me simply tell you what Jesus Christ has done in my life. Let Him see the changes, and then leave the rest to the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will lead you and empower you and let you know that it is Christ who is yours. Will you be sinless? Not at all. You will be a sinner saved by grace, but out of that same grace, working and loving the Lord Jesus. And for you, a person who trusts Christ in that way has changes going on continually. I remember once coming to a congregation where I was quite well acquainted. And they were telling me that such and such a person was a great Sunday school superintendent. And finally I said in the quietness of the small congregation, "Has something happened to him?" "Oh yes," they replied, "you knew him when he was a younger man." "Well, he has met Christ, to be sure, and he has turned his heart around, and he is a delightful person to have as your brother in Christ Jesus." We talk about social justice in our church today. And sometimes when we don't have that connected with our faith, it can almost appear that it's something that I go out and do to win favor with God. There are a lot of hungry people, so I'm going out and help with the breakfast in the morning so that we can raise the money and give it to the poor people in our congregation. Well, you can have their pancake dinner or pancake supper, whatever you want. There's nothing wrong with that. But that is not how you really raise money for social justice. The service clubs can do that. But we as a Church of Jesus Christ simply trust Him. You can be sure that if you walk with Jesus, Jesus will want to have you doing social work. First, He will want you to tell the people about Christ, about salvation. But He also perhaps will want you, as a chairman of the committee, to go out and get some extra money and bring that to those who are yet starving. It is simply that the Christian life, for the true Christian who is changing every day, is quite different. It is given from the Holy Spirit that lives in the heart. Here is your money. Use that for those people. Is there something I can do for you? Sure, I will be the chairman of your committee. We need that money too. That's what it means to live with Christ in His Word. Take care of all of these experiences. And so we should be very, very careful that we feed on that Word. And feeding on that Word, we know what it is to love Christ and serve Him and work with Him. Now, I have talked this day about changes in our lives brought on there by the Holy Spirit in who lives in our life. Let me point just in closing here that this also would apply as far as our churches are concerned. You see, you know churches that don't seem to change hardly any. They have no great deals going in their midst to serve Christ and to make him known to others. They have a church that opens up on Sunday morning. There may be a little activity during the week, but not much. And most of that is of social nature. Few Bible studies, few discussion groups, few places for people to go who really want to know what this Christianity is all about. When that church becomes full of people who really know Christ from the heart, it'll change. Change drastically. Because Christ is leading, empowering, guiding them to be his spokesman on this earth. If Jesus Christ is going to be the Savior of this world, he has chosen to invade the hearts of people. And those who will keep him there and let his word feed, they will become his servants. And so the servants go on and get other servants. And pretty soon you have a church that is full of people who know Christ and what their business really is. Pretty soon you have a community that the churches have contributed in such a way that there is no question who is being their motivator. We have a marvelous opportunity in this day and age where people think it is us who are going to feed the hungry, when it is only Jesus himself. Pray the leadership of our church. Pray the people of our country who are leading will begin to realize that the strength of all this God-fearing living is in the hands of Jesus when he lives in the heart. Where does Jesus live in your life? Do you have a intellectual faith where not too much is happening? Or do you have a faith that is right in the heart, where Christ talks to you every day? That's our question. And he gives us the answer. Don't be the person who put the mina in a cloth and put it in the drawer and never did anything about it. Take out your mina and let it tell people about the Savior. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Oh,
Father in heaven, we thank you for your patience, how you are willing to work with us, and even though the progress seems so slow, that you're right there to guide us along life's way. We thank you because it is not anything that we have done, but we thank you that we can see the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, those great things that have changed with those who are closest to us. We pray your blessings that it will continue to walk that way. Lord Jesus, today we pray for your church. We realize that it is a mighty body. And if we could only let you into our hearts, then, O God, how different life would be. We think of our own United States. We know not exactly what was going on when this nation was founded, but we read in our history books that there are God-fearing people, and they were anxious to keep the word before the whole country. Today we can take it or leave it. Today there are so many other things that are used in this place. We have opportunities with the mechanisms that we have to tell us how it's going to happen before we even begin to try something that might make the difference between the fate of a congregation and a disaster in it. Lord, we pray that you will put on the throne those who are near and dear to you. Kindle the faith in our president's heart and grant, O Lord, that the Congress of the United States may know what it is to bow before your throne of grace to seek help and direction. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you to allow the Holy Spirit to work faith in your heart so it can grow deeper and prosper. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. We encourage you to check out our website, where you can find both an audio and printed copy of today's message, along with other useful tools to aid you in your daily faith journey. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day. We pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.